Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. I mean it too. Now, you have the Keith and the Girl app, right?
Yes.
Then you know that there's an all-new What Do We Do Now? I'm reading the description. We bring the tools to help Josh deal with a lover who can't put down her phone. Justine, who hates her lover's dumb family. Kara, who doesn't understand why guys suck. And Amanda, who can't get over a love that ended 2 years ago.
We had the answers to all of this, you guys. It was amazing.
You send in your questions in our weekly advice show, We Save Your Life, and it's available at the convenience of an app right there in the palm of your hand.
KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP, and for the app, KeithandTheGirl.com/app or anywhere in your app store.
Today's guest, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the podcast, Ignorance is Blessed, regular at the Comedy Store. Her comedy album was number one on iTunes, entitled Please Don't Leave Me. Jessica Michelle Singleton.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm the only host of my podcast.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, but I was like, oh, maybe I should get a co-host. Maybe everyone's like, we like your guests better.
Maybe you have a co-host and you don't know it.
Oh my God. I should have that psychic guest back. Hi, how are you guys?
I think it's my fault because all the names confused me.
I mean, I'm a one-woman co-host.
What makes you, this always fascinates me. What makes you go with your full three names?
I have two first names. It's like Marianne, but too many syllables. It's a white trash thing.
Oh yeah?
Jessica Michelle. Yeah, it's like a.
Oh, Jessica Michelle is a.
Is a first name.
Like Carol Ann.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But just overzealous. My mom, this is true. My dad named me while my
She's
mother was...
She's going to name all the true things before she says it. And you're going to have to decide which one's true.
No, my dad filled out the birth certificate while my mom was passed out so that I'd have his initials. And then he abandoned me. But he's like, have my name. But my mom wanted to name me Stephanie Nicole. And I'm not kidding you. She told me this. She was just going to call me Stevie Nicks is how white trash I am.
Where are you from?
I was born in Germany, actually, but my mom is, I don't know, she grew up in New York and then moved to Florida, but is some sort of trash can of a human. Her sister almost named her daughter Reba.
No.
Rebecca, or called her, it's just Reba.
Is that, so Florida?
Yeah, it's yeah. A Florida, I don't know. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Florida?
I didn't. I was born in Mississippi. My dad got restationed to Mississippi. Or mm-hmm. No, I was born in Germany, sorry. Then we moved to Mississippi, so pretty trashy. And then in sixth grade, my mom moved us to Alaska.
Oh my God.
Just like, yeah, my dad left and my mom's like crazy person. She's like, get in the car, kids. We're going to Alaska. And drove us from Mississippi to Alaska because she's mentally ill.
But you liked your dad a lot, right?
I loved my dad. Yeah.
Do you still talk? Is he still around?
No, he's not. He disappeared.
That's how she can love him.
Right.
Well, yeah.
From a distance.
I mean, I don't now. I'm like bitter and I'm like, fuck you. But he was my best friend growing up and then he like abandoned us and then he was in and out and then... I went to college in Florida where he was living and then he disappeared again. So I haven't talked to him since 2009.
Shit, I bet you have the best relationships.
Oh, I'm so good in bed. Terrible at relationships and love because I'm a mess, but like nobody loves you better than someone who's been abandoned by a parent.
He was deeply into drugs, right?
Oh yeah, meth. I didn't know that though. I thought he was just fun. I was like, Dad bought a trampoline. And then you're like, oh yeah, that he was high on meth.
Wow. And did your mom have abuse issues?
She's like a textbook. If you go in the DSM or Wikipedia and you read about borderline personality disorder, that's my mom, like to a T.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw I, Tonya.
You sure?
The mom in I, Tonya. I was like, that woman's my mother. And everyone's like, no. And I was like, no, my mom's probably worse. But she means well, but she's just right.
Your
crazy.
Mom, your mom didn't take you to skating classes.
No, she didn't even care if I had a talent. She's like, shut up, kid, and burn me with a cigarette. But
did she actually burn you with a cigarette?
A couple times.
And on purpose?
No.
Hmm.
In her words, she's like, oh, you shouldn't have been sitting there.
Uh-huh. That she would have put it out on the armchair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. So we get along now, but yeah, she was... big drinker when I was a kid.
How do you do that? How are you able to get along?
She
now?
Moved to South Korea, so it's a good, we just communicate through an app occasionally. Okay. And I'm like, hope you're well. And she's come close to apologizing, so.
I wonder if I can forgive all that abuse.
I think you can forgive, but you never forget.
Right.
No.
That's the part
the cigarette
that
we- burns.
Yeah, and it's just like, It's even to the point where I remember having a long conversation with her about it, and she's like, yeah, but if I was any better, you wouldn't be a good comedian. And I was like, oh, you're taking credit. But also, she's probably not wrong.
you would find some sense of humor.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I'd probably have an office job and feel stable.
Right. How boring.
I wouldn't need to like beg strangers for love from a microphone every day. Like, please.
I'm not exaggerating. Your mom used to call you, and I quote, an ugly little Jew baby.
No, she only called me that once, and it was right when I was born.
Okay, and she let you know that later?
Later. I don't know why. I was like, you didn't have to tell me that. You know what happened was, in ninth grade, for no reason other than having a few Jewish friends, I was just like, I'm going to convert to Judaism. I said that to my mom. We were raised lazy Catholic, you know,
okay,
you
sure.
know, church, Easter, so and a few other times to go like, we're not those people who only come on church and Easter. And it's like, okay, I mean, Christmas and Easter, whatever.
Whatever. It gets confusing.
So I was like, I'm converting to Judaism. And she's like, okay. And then for Christmas, because my mom has the best and worst sense of humor, I just got one gift and it was wrapped in Shalom wrapping paper with Stars of David. And I opened it and it was like the 30th anniversary of Schindler's List.
Oh my
she's
God.
Like, Merry Christmas, Jew.
Oh my God.
But
she's funny.
She's so funny. She's like insane. And she, if you meet her, you're like, you would love her. She makes a great first impression. She's just hard to be with on a daily basis. But, I found out when I was 19 that I was created through artificial insemination. Like, the dad who abandoned us couldn't have kids, so they spent a ton of money at sperm banks.
And you are this disappointing?
Yeah, I know. I used to do a bit about it that I want to like bring back and like really dive into, because it's like, wow, you can handpick the sperm donor, and like out comes this little gremlin who's like, I'm not going to grow.
When did you find this out?
I found out when I was in college. I was actually visiting my dad because he lived a couple hours away. So I'd go every couple weekends and like do dinner with his family, because he had remarried way like years before, and he had a stepson from – I had a stepbrother from that marriage, and he's like way older than me, but he was like a drunk that lives at home. And he had overheard my dad telling that to my stepmom at some point. And he was never supposed to tell me, but we were having this, like, we were drinking Bud Lights or whatever, having a conversation.
Nothing can go wrong.
Yeah. And somehow I brought up my older brother who I grew up with. He's like a year older than me. And I was like, yeah, someone said that we look alike. And he's like, you don't look anything like your brother. I was like, I don't look anything like anyone in my family. I always kind of thought I was adopted. And he just made like a face. And I was like, what's a face? And then he like told me, but he's like, you can't tell your dad because he said he'd beat the shit out of me. And then I was like, okay, well, obviously I'm gonna bring it up.
Right. He's being so cavalier about it.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So then I went through this elaborate like lie of pretending that I was taking a genetics class. And being like, I need a sample of your DNA, a cigarette butt.
Were you even in school?
I was.
Okay.
But like genetics, which in retrospect, now that I'm learning more about genetics, I'm like, it's kind of cool. I wish I would have studied it. And my dad's just like, okay. And then I was like, hey, I know you're not my dad. And he's like, doesn't mean I love you any less. I'm like, oh, I don't think you could love me any less. You abandoned me in a Waffle House. But
in a Waffle House?
Yeah.
What's?
Do you know about Waffle House?
Is that the restaurant? Is that where to leave
kids? Oh, it's like
kids?
A southern, I mean, if you're a trash bag, it is.
Okay.
It's a good place. At least there's waffles, I guess.
It's the Waffle House or the library.
Right? Yeah.
Maybe a fire station. Where they leave kids.
Yeah, he didn't get the memo. So he's like, the fire department will come to these waffles.
What did he say? He left the wallet
in the car? And then he drove away. Yeah.
Did you watch him drive away?
I did. And I was like, where?
How old were you?
I was like 8. I was like, he must have left the wallet at home. And then I just had to get a ride home from someone. And it was Mississippi, so I don't think anyone even called the cops. Like,
how did you get a ride home?
I got a ride home from, they didn't call the cops. I got a ride home from like a police officer. And like, they just dropped me off. I'm like, all right, bye. And I was like, our family had so many domestic dispute calls, though, that I think the cops were just like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, I'm surprised they even let me go home. But
do you know that IHOP would have raised you?
Yeah, exactly. Waffle House is trash. Fuck
your dad did so many things wrong. Didn't leave you in an IHOP.
It's like he didn't even get the memo on how to be a good dad. Good dads who leave go to Denny's. That's what I think. That's like the home of divorced dads.
You would catch your mom abusing your dad physically, right?
They would fight all the time. And here's the thing. I never like saw them do this. Everything I know has been like repeated to me, because they would just be like, go to your room. And I'd just lock myself in my room and turn on country music and pretend I was, I don't know, a country singer. And I'd dance with I had like a hat rack. I'd be like, we're in love.
That's your just, safe place.
Blaring music and dissociating from reality. But yeah, no, apparently like my mom and dad used to get in like physical altercations. And my dad's like 6'2" and my mom's 5'5", but like crazy scrappy lady. And so I guess like there were times when she would like strangle him with a phone cord and was just like beating the shit out of him, like biting him.
When did you find this out?
When I was older. Like, I knew they were fighting, but I just never peeked my head out. I was a good kid. I just did what I was told.
But how's the, I'm confused how this stuff seems to keep coming up.
Because my mom just likes to bring it up in conversations. She'll be like, yeah, well, you know, one time I tried to strangle your dad. And I'm like, why? You don't have to, I don't need to know more.
Do you ever tell her? I don't want to hear anymore.
Well, no, because I just.
Because you like it.
I don't know if I like it or I just like, it, because if I go, I don't want to hear anymore, it'll become this thing where my mom's like, oh.
Right.
Well, I'm just trying to connect with you. And she'll be so devastated. And I'm like, okay.
Do you find yourself having some of these issues that your mom had? Borderline personal. First of all, is there anything borderline about this?
I mean, it's just to me, that's such a weird name for borderline personality disorder because it's like, there is no line.
Right.
I briefly, I think back in like 2012, started to wonder if I was exhibiting some of the characteristics. None of that, I've never like violently attacked anyone. I definitely default to sad and not angry.
Right.
But
what would be the...
Well, there's a thing with borderline personality disorder, and this is where I was like, oh no, is this how it starts? And am I going to get worse? They call it splitting, but it's basically the inability to see a gray area with a lot of things where you see everything in black and white.
Keith Malley.
That makes sense.
Yeah, where you like, if you either like... You'll love someone so much and you'll just switch to hating them. Or like if people aren't my friend, I think they hate me. I think a lot of that was just like early 20s insecurity.
Yeah. Because
I'm getting older and it's not that bad, but I do have things where in relationships I've been like so enamored by someone and then it just drops.
Well, isn't that what you've worked with all your life?
Like yeah.
You and your dad were best friends and then he just runs
away. And
then
he left. So it's like even now having like worked on shit and you know, being more aware of my emotions and what's reality and that most people aren't going to just leave you. I still have like so much anxiety around relationships. I literally hung out with a guy recently and started getting like crushed butterflies, you know? And then I was like, no, like now I don't even like the idea of liking someone because I'm like, it's just going to turn into anxiety.
And we can't tell you that you're wrong.
No. So. Yeah. So it's like, because it's like the rational side of my brain knows that probably most guys I date aren't going to be like taking out the trash and never come back. But then there's this deep part of me that's like, but they could.
Did he take out the trash one time and leave?
No, he never took out the trash. That bastard. You slob.
He could have doubled up on
so you could have at least taken the trash out with you. He took the dog.
Do you have
Ooh.
Wow. And did not
he,
you.
Yeah.
Did he pay the check at the Waffle House before he left?
I don't remember. I'm assuming they didn't make me pay. So okay. Like there was no like, you're going to have to, imagine if someone had made that joke, going to have to wash some dishes, kid. It's like my dad just abandoned.
I'll wash it with my tears.
Yes.
How did they even figure out where your home was?
I mean, it was a small town in Mississippi. So I just told them my address and it was in
you knew your address.
I knew my address. Yeah. And then I,
he made sure that you knew that.
Yeah. I think that was ingrained in me from an early age. He must've been plotting. He's like, in case I ever abandon her, she's going to need to know how to get back. So it was an area where like, you just say which neighborhood you live in. I live in Pinehurst, which was the name of my neighborhood. And then they just drive you back.
Well, I'm looking at borderline personality disorder. Do you find yourself having, let's say,
diagnosing me
impulsive behaviors that can have dangerous outcomes, such as excessive spending?
I've gotten better. I stopped myself from spending. Spending and sex were my thing.
I've never been
a drinker. I drink, but I've never been like an alcoholic. I've never been a drug user. But it's sex, food, spending.
How are we on that list?
It's all of them.
Oh shit!
Yeah, those are the ones. Periods of intense depressed mood.
100%.
Irritability or anxiety lasting a few days to a few weeks.
Yeah, sometimes. The other thing though is I have an autoimmune disease, and I didn't know for a long time that a big side effect of that can be depression, and it like actually affects your mood.
I have one too. Which one do you have?
I have rheumatoid arthritis. What do you got?
I have myasthenia gravis.
Oh.
I'll trade you.
I'll trade you giant burps for whatever you go through.
Oh my God, you guys, is that your thing?
It's one of the things. All of a sudden I'm like, I don't think that has to do with myasthenia gravis.
But if that is a thing, I'm going to say I have that anytime I burp. It's not my fault. I have myasthenia gravis.
It is new. Kenda's been burping a lot. I don't know if she's just more comfortable, but she's been burping more since the tumor.
Yeah, and Keith is trying to be polite because he knows that it has something to do with the tumor or whatever the residual of that is. And so he looks up every once in a while because I think he can't even believe how giant they are.
Because they're just like massive?
They are... I think they come up from my butt or something.
That's amazing.
And
I'm impressed. That's incredible.
They gain momentum. So by the time, I mean, it's.
I've had some big burps, and I know I'm not saying it's anything to what your butt. I know that feeling of like, here it comes.
You can feel it.
I can't
the
even
whole
imagine.
Came to burp. This was like 2 days ago, and a ship came into the studio. It's powerful stuff.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. But yeah. Also, the symptoms, Keith, that you were reading, I feel like I can relate, and I feel
that's
like
the thing is, I think that like the thing about mental illness is, I mean, there's so many things about it, but there's obviously like people with real mental illness who need help and they need to be on meds or whatever works for them. But it's such a spectrum, and also I feel like the definition of certain mental illnesses is so wide.
Yeah, like, well, I think that feels we all bad for a couple days.
And it's like, maybe you're just fucking sad.
Is it like, upsetting, though, when you know you have real issues and then someone like him just says, yeah, I think I have that too. Sometimes I like people,
dismissive.
Sometimes I don't like them.
No, because first of all, I don't know if I have enough issues to be like diagnosed. Maybe it's because I keep canceling on therapists. That's probably a red flag. And I'm like, I don't have time for therapy.
I hate you now.
Yeah, it's just like, my last therapist, I swear to God, she was really nice. But I just had this moment of like, every time I go to therapy, I talk and then I come to a realization and I'll say something that I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. And she's like, yeah. And she just agreed with me. And I was like, what do I need you? I'll just talk alone in my room for an hour. Like, that's way more sane.
Right. Have you thought about seriously committing suicide? Have you tried?
Oh, once I've tried. And I think about it on occasion, but no longer do I think about it in terms of I would actually have any.
How did you try?
Forward moment. Oh, I tried to hang myself. And it was like in a manic. I was like spiraling. Like, I was like, I just got to make the thoughts stop. It was so crazy.
Now, is it interesting that you, the way you went or were thinking about going, you're still here.
Is heavily masculine. Is that what you're going to say?
Is by choking yourself. Meanwhile, that's what your mom was doing to your dad.
Oh, I know. It's all a sign. It all comes
back. Is there something there, you think?
I mean, maybe. My mom was constantly suicidal. I don't know. I think I just, it seemed like the easiest thing. I didn't have any pills. I didn't have a gun. And I just was having this like spiral of thoughts that I couldn't turn off. It wasn't about even not wanting to live. It was just about wanting to shut my brain off and I couldn't. What? So just like anything, make it stop.
What were some of the thoughts?
I don't even know now. It was just like a mania where I couldn't sleep. And like I had tried to restart a relationship with someone who I had broken up with. Like I broke up with this guy very bluntly. He was really sweet to me. I loved him a lot. And then I just had that moment where I like shut off and I was like, I don't think I love you anymore.
Mm.
And when I was breaking up with him, I was so sad, but then I started hysterically laughing. Like it was just coming out of me and I was like, I don't know what this is and I'm scared and I'm sorry.
What was
like,
his response?
Are we still together?
And he's like, I love you.
April Fool's Day.
He was just like, okay. And then like left and then like cut off all connect. He like wouldn't talk to me. And then I got into a relationship with someone else who was like an abusive piece of shit. And I just was like sad and was like, well, this guy can't emotionally hurt me. So who cares? It was really dumb. It was just like bathing in sadness.
That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, but to other people, they're like, what?
Yeah.
I was like in a relationship with someone I genuinely from the beginning was like, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
All the time I was like, I hate him.
That makes so much sense.
Also, when I finally left that guy, I literally woke up one morning and looked at him and I was like, I hate you.
Did you say that?
Yeah, but he had been like abusive and manipulative and was so.
What kind?
I mean, just mostly emotionally and verbally, but he would do that like fucking grab my fat thing like on my stomach and be like, or be like, you're not going to eat that, are you? And then when I was sleeping, he'd always try to put his dick in my ass and I'd wake up and he'd be like, I was asleep. And I'm like, what?
I think he crossed into physical abuse.
Yeah.
Too.
And then at some point, yeah, then he started getting like shaky, you know, like. This and then one time he chased me in the bathroom and was like, I'm gonna kill you. Or like, if you try to leave me.
Yikes.
There was one time we were watching one of those.
Were you very comfortable in this relationship?
I was like, ah, it feels like home. Yeah. No, I was just like, what am I doing? Why am I not leaving? It was very weird. And we had so many mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was my whole friend group at the time because I just moved to LA. And then I was like, oh, if I break up with him,
you're gonna be alone.
I'm gonna have like no friends. And then I have to deal with this all alone.
How did you do it?
I literally was like, I waited and I will never stop apologizing to my friend Brittany. My friend from college came to visit and I was like already, she was like staying at our place because we moved in together because it's like, we've been together a month, let's move in, you know, whatever, we're stupid. I broke up with him, with her there and she's like, I can't, and she was like, I cannot fucking believe you're breaking up with him while I'm here. And I was like, Brittany, you don't understand. you have to be here. Someone has to be here. And she was like so mad, but I was like, I think he might try to kill me if there's not another person here. So I just like broke up with him. She was there. And then like within a week I had gotten a place and I fucking moved. I didn't tell him where I was moving.
How did it feel during that week? Did you want to go back?
No.
Did you have any regrets?
The only regret I had was the entire relationship that I was like, well, how did I let myself, because until you're in a situation like that, you like hear women about women getting abused and you're like, how do you?
And so how do you?
I mean,
how does it happen? Was he super charming in the beginning?
He was like a used car salesman. I was just in a bad place.
Okay. That's,
so it was like, he's not charming, but when you're in like a low and you're like, well, this guy's into me. I don't know. It was like a self-esteem weird.
It seems like that would be, it's you can see this guy's shittiness. So how could it go wrong? Meaning like, this guy can't hurt me because I'm never going to feel anything.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, it feels so temporary. You'll be able to walk away anyway.
Yeah. And then it was like, he was talking to all these other girls and I was like, you're not supposed to, cheat on me.
Yeah.
Like what? And then he was talking to girls that like were way too young. And I was like, what the fuck? You're disgusting.
How old is way too young?
They were in high school. And I found like all these like Facebook messages with girls in high school. And he was like, so
how old was he?
He was like 23.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the age gap itself, not that big, really, like in the grand scheme of
things. But the targeted audience.
But it's like you found this girl on Facebook. Right. There's no way that you just met her. Right. Like, ugh, it was just so gross.
And you
so
know
gross.
She's in high school.
Yeah.
And you're pursuing it like an adult.
Yeah. And ugh. Then I found out, I mean, because I went like fucking crazy when I found that out. And I was like, give me your password to your profile. And like, he's like, here it is. I was getting on a flight and I was like, it wouldn't log in. And so when I landed, I was like, that's not the right password. He's like, oh, it was an accident. It was a typo. So he had like a whole me flying to Florida to like get rid of everything. So he gave me his password, which I'm now not the kind of person that would ever, like, if I'm not going to fucking do all that
shit. Can I just make an announcement super quick?
Yes.
Just so everybody knows, nobody's that person. You're not that person, but you still did it. Because we're all doing it.
Yeah.
You are that person. We're all that person. You don't feel like you're that person while you're doing it. You're like, I can justify out of this. But let me tell you something. Given the opportunity and that the fucked up curiosity is one thing. Like, I feel like you can kind of stay away from that.
Yeah.
But when you know something,
when there's a sign. That's the thing is I left my Facebook open. This is how that started. I left my Facebook open because there was nothing to hide. And then he went through my messages and found messages to my ex from when we dated. And right. was like, why are you messaging him? And I was like, why are you so stupid that you don't even look at dates? Like, what? And then that made me, I was fine until then. I had like my suspicions, but it was that curiosity that you're like, okay, I'm not going to act on that.
Because whatever he's doing, you must be.
Because I was like,
doing.
Well, if you're going through my Facebook, you must be worried about something. So.
And it must be through Facebook. It's so weird right. how sometimes it's so clear, like, oh, you think I'm cheating when I go to school and you go to school.
So you must
okay.
be.
Okay.
yeah. Right. So wow. there were no messages, but then I like fucking went deep because I was just in a crazy like fuck you episode.
And also, by the way, women are really good at this.
Yes, he had our. So I went into his
look
privacy
at all the
settings.
Women. All the women just nodded their head because you know why? Because we won't make mistakes like why are you talking to that guy? Oops, that was 5 years ago. And we won't make mistakes like you left this open. I saw nothing, or I found your password and like.
Yeah,
there's
if usually, he wouldn't have brought it up, I would have never known he went through my Facebook. If he was smart enough.
There's usually a reason, I think with men, and Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, because you can represent all men and from now until forever. It seems like with men, it's like, well, it's open or like, let me see what could happen. And with women, it's like, I feel weird. I feel like I'm being gaslit.
I would never act on it unless I felt that. And because of the few times that I've acted on it when I felt like that, now I trust that feeling where I'm like, I don't feel this for nothing.
Right.
So I went deep and I went into his privacy settings because we were in a relationship on Facebook. He had his relationship status hidden from like 15 women. So that those women specifically couldn't see that he was in a relationship. And one of them was this
I didn't even know you could do that.
Was like an older woman, not old, but like.
I'm sorry. I said, I didn't know you can do that. And Andrea nodded like, get to know Facebook.
I don't even remember how to find that now, but like. Because I haven't had to, I guess. But one of those women was like an older lady who went to open mics with us all the time. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, is that why she ignores me?
Ugh, when things start adding up.
And you're like, it's just like, you don't even know. There was no discerning type with these women. You're just like, anyone who will talk to me that's not my girlfriend? Is that what's happening?
I think basically, and I think that's why you can't really take that shit personally, because it's like,
it's just like, you're a pig, whatever.
It's just it's attention after attention after attention.
Yeah. Anyways, that was years ago. But then after that, I tried to kill myself. Anyway.
But now it's making sense. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm ready to strangle me.
Because I was like, then I like moved out and I was alone in a studio apartment and just sad.
How close do you get? There's really a belt around your neck?
Oh, yeah. And then I was like, I'm gonna do it in the shower.
Okay.
Because I had this old shower that came out of the ground. It was like this weird 20s, like iron rod. Because okay. I thought, I'm like, if I try to do it in the closet and then it breaks and then it's like, ha ha, funny. But like, I just can't handle that right now.
Right. I feel like logistically the hanging is so tough. But
yeah. Continue. Oh, well, I did it wrong. I mean, I didn't fucking know how to do it. I just like had a skinny belt that went to this really cute dress. And I strapped it around my neck. I like put it through the thing because I was like, if I tie it, whatever. And then I just... I did no research, which thank God, but like, I was like, I'm just going to strangle myself over the
but how
top of, I was like going to pull over the top of the curve of the shower and just yank. Like I didn't, don't know why I thought I'd be able to just like hold that till I killed myself. But anyways, the whole shower went and like it came and I was like, this is pathetic. I just like had a moment of like,
again,
of course it didn't work. And then I took off the belt and was like, I'm going to go to an open mic. Because I was not in a good place.
That's where open mics go.
Yeah, and when I did go to an open mic and there was, and I talked about it, and I don't remember what I said. I wish I would have, I guess I didn't audio record, but there was a notorious open micer in LA who's like a homeless person who lives in a car and has like crazy hair and sometimes has like food and stuff in his hair. And it's like a heroin addict. His name's Jem, G-E-M.
Oh my God, I look forward to seeing him while we're there.
Yeah, I think he might have gotten a haircut, but he came up to me and he's like, hey, that was a great set. It seems like you're going through a lot. I just want you to know it gets better. And I was like, a homeless man who lives in a car just told me it gets better. Help!
And then he's picking out his hair. Fruit Loop?
Yeah. And I was like, oh no, I should see a therapist or something.
Ooh.
But it got better.
What do you do now so that it is better? Is therapy the secret?
I don't go to therapy.
Okay.
I'm thinking about starting back up when I get back in LA. That's the thing, is I justified not doing it because
your location.
I travel so much
that
it's like, I don't feel comfortable enough. I'm sure therapists do phone calls, but for some reason I don't want to be like, could we like FaceTime while I'm in New York?
Yeah, I think they Skype now.
Yeah, and it's like, that's totally normal, I think. But for some reason I'm like, I don't want to bother you even though I'm paying you. I have so much trouble asking for help. It's like a deep, I don't know, it's a problem.
Do you, and you don't have addictions?
I think food and sex are my things, and I'm trying to eat healthy now to control the rheumatoid arthritis, and I haven't been having sex. And so I feel like lately I have moments where I'm really white knuckling, but I'm being like, I'm more aware of emotions now. Like I've done a lot of self-help and not that, you know, I'm perfect, but obviously not that I'm perfect. No, everyone's like, until now, until you said it, we thought you were.
When you're white knuckling, how do you change your mind about it?
Well, it's just being aware that emotions are impermanent. That's a thing I had to learn, because I attach to my emotions very easily, or I used to, where like if I feel depressed, I am depressed. That's my entire existence. If it feels like it's never going to get better, and you're just like, I guess this is just who I am now, you know, sad forever. And I don't know about you, but I get like, right before my period, I'll go into like dips of depression. And I never know that's what it is till my period comes. But I go like, I'm just a sad person.
Oh.
Life is sad. And then it goes away, or my period comes. And I'm like,
that's so funny. You really just asked me if I get PMS.
Well, no, it's like, I don't know how everyone else, it's just like such a stupid question. But I'm like, I constantly have to be like, we're all experiencing this the same way, right? Or are we not? Am I crazy?
May I mention Al-Anon?
I know. Everyone's been mentioning that.
Well,
I need to go.
I mean, I'm trying everything short of that. Belts around my neck, extreme shop.
And then I go to Alan, I'm like, you guys do the belt thing?
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've been meaning to go. I keep making, it's like a dumb joke on stage of being like, I want to go to Codependence Anonymous, but I can't find anyone to go with me. Just so stupid. But yeah, I remember talking to my mom briefly after that belt situation and being like, it's like I act like an alcoholic, but I'm not an alcoholic. And my mom's just like, yeah, of course, you're the child of an alcoholic. And I'm like, oh, so I'm just like this because of your drinking problem. She's like, yep.
Basically, like the way I see it is everyone in the the other meeting, like sexual essay.
SLA or whatever, sex and love addicts?
Yes.
Oh, when are those?
Narcotics.
God. Narcotics Anonymous, even marijuana, not whatever it
all
is.
All of them, yeah.
So Al-Anon is putting down those people. Like they have to put down, let's say, a drink. We have to put them down and then start.
Oh, it's like putting down the person who has the problem.
So whatever your problem is putting the space between you and that problem.
And that problem.
Yeah. And our problem is usually like attaching to people and giving the wrong people too much.
It's kind of like codependence, right?
Yes. I think everyone in Al-Anon qualifies for both.
Yeah.
It's like they're at job interviews and their main problem is they're too kind.
I work too hard.
Right.
I just care too much.
What's the tattoo on your hand?
Oh, I say that in a bit about this tattoo. It says slow down. I don't know if you guys can. It's my microphone hand.
Like if you closed your fist and you did that little character, like your thumb was talking, it's on your
finger.
That's
his eyes. Yeah. Slow down. I talk too fast. I don't know if you guys noticed. I'm working on it.
Okay. We're going to take a picture of that and put it on the website and the
Amazing.
App.
Yeah. So I was on the road for 2 months straight and I was writing on my hand every night in permanent marker. And then one day I had a bunch of Mountain Dew and I was like in a town where I have a friend who's a tattoo artist. I was like, let's just make this permanent. Because I want to just make sure that no one wants to introduce me to their mother, I guess.
Any regrets? Not that I would think that you would.
No, I don't care. I have moments where I have brief moments where when people go, oh, is that permanent? That I'll go. But then it's like, yeah, maybe I put myself in a corner so I can't get a desk job. I don't know.
Do you have to leave a guy if like you're giving him a hand job and he says he makes some kind of hacky joke about it? Are you like, believe me, I heard it.
I think I would. I've never had a guy say anything.
Okay.
That's because they don't.
I've had them say things like just in general say things. If it's not a guy I'm hooking up with, like slow down. Whoa, what's that? Fucking blow job, hand job. And I'm like, not for you.
Right. Wait, it's so funny that you would think it's right for your cock. Oh, is that for my cock?
And it's like, yeah, no, nothing is.
Sure, because it says slow down, and that's how you would touch my penis. So I don't know.
No, I seems touch like- it like this.
What other tattoos do you have?
I have a tattoo on my lip. It says bisou. It's French for kiss.
On your gum, right?
On my gums, on the inside of my lip. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not on my face. I haven't gone that far yet, but you know.
I'm going to ask you the dumbest question that everybody must ask.
Do you tattoo everything what it is? Hair.
Lip.
I have in my hair.
This is what I do with my lips.
Listen. Yeah, that is what I do with my lips. I don't know. I do have a lot of word tattoos. I just have cherries on my ankle, which was just, I was 16 and I was like, I want to get a tattoo.
Well, did it hurt on the inside of your lip?
It was the least painful, but the most awkward because the tattoo artist was so hot. His name was Shaq.
You were trying to tell him what to do.
And I was like, hi, do you have a girlfriend? I'm just like drooling and like, meh.
Who holds your lip down while that happens?
I think it was me. Wait, and I can't remember. Maybe he was just holding it and writing. That would make sense because the writing is so bad. It's just so, it looks like I gave it to myself.
Well, he's doing it. You're trying to swallow.
And I'm like, oh, I love you. And he's like, could you stop trying to pucker your lips? I'm like, daddy, kissy, kissy.
And I saw online, you posted your vagina.
I did.
About being waxed. So there's wax over.
Over the lip.
You doings.
Yeah.
And the tattoo next to it is a four-leaf clover.
It says, lucky you.
Lucky you.
St. Patrick's Day, spring break, freshman year of college, Daytona Beach.
All of those add up.
Jack Daniels. That too. I thought I was funny. And now, and years later, I'm like, wow, my tattoos are hacky. I didn't know about Lucky Brand jeans because I was too poor to have them. Right. And I was like, curses. I could have just got the jeans. But I guess it just makes for,
it's a conversation.
It's
starter.
A conversation piece. Well, it's a good like gateway for someone to be like, oh, like you're either going to be real into me or not at that point. I mean, it's too far at that point, but like a guy knows.
You know, you can't be bad in bed when you have that tattoo.
No, I don't think I am. Please write in. Let me know. The last guy I went down on said it was the best blowjob he's ever had. But what does that have to do with my tattoo? In fact, he didn't even notice the tattoo. And I think that's how good the blowjob was. Because we had sex the second time and he's like, oh, I didn't know you had a tattoo there. And I was like, oh.
But you knew I had my mouth on your penis.
Well, you know, it's all I've got.
Let's say you have sex with a guy
That's so funny. You're the best blowjob. Such encouragement. Right. And I was like, fuck it, I'll do it again.
And I was like, but that's how easily I'm like drawn in. I'm like, I'm the best at something. I'll be here forever.
Should they mention that they noticed there's a tattoo?
I don't care if they do. It's there. I mean, if they're going to go like, ugh,
sure,
great tattoo. And it's like, well, you fucked me. So who's really making bad decisions? I don't care. I mean, it's there. It's part of who I am.
Has anyone changed their mind because of?
Never. Not once.
All right.
And some of the guys I've dated.
We're talking in general about consent. The tattoos are going to stop them.
Yeah. Or it's like, I've already said I'm willing to. Oh, and it's like, I forget as a woman.
Yeah. The word no doesn't stop them, but your stupid tattoo.
But my tattoo might.
I mean, stupid, but like.
No, it's stupid. It's fine. I know that was a stupid. I'm fine with it. I've embraced it, but it was a stupid decision. But
she means stupid. Like, that tattoo's stupid.
Stupid. Yeah. No, surprisingly. Well, I forget. It's so easy for women to have sex that I forget some of the guys I've had sex with probably don't have a lot of sex. And so what are they going to be like? Never mind. Like,
right.
I've dated really nice men from, I think, really wholesome families that are probably like, okay. Like if their parent, not that their parents would ever know I have a pussy tattoo, but they'd be like, oh my God. But the guys were fine with it.
Do you enjoy that extra more?
I don't know. I think it's a good,
well, you're conventionally, you're like a hot nerd.
You think I'm hot?
Oh my God. Is this how they get you? Jesus Christ.
No, this is a real thing, is that like, I think I'm ugly. Cause I grew up and my mom was like, you're so fucking ugly. You're lucky you're smart. No one's ever going to love you. And to this day, like people get mad at me because I don't think I'm as pretty as they think I am.
You're like movie hot. Like you're like the kind that, yeah.
I take these and I'm like.
Glasses are off, right? Goes cross-eyed.
Thank you. Yeah, no, even though like the guy I'm seeing, we've hooked up a few times. I don't know what it is, but he used the word dating once casually in a conversation. I was like, oh my God, we're going to get married. We're not. I don't know.
The guy who's recently seeing your tattoos.
The guy who I gave the best blowjob ever to.
Oh.
We might not. Who knows? Whatever he decides.
Just in passing, he mentioned me being pretty. It was just like, oh, I feel like we were talking about those weird AMDR. You know those AS, that fucking weird sound shit?
Yeah.
Where they talk to you.
Like,
ASMR.
Okay. We were talking about those and because we were just talking about unboxing videos and what's popular on YouTube for some reason, because it was just a real fun conversation, I guess.
It's so funny. We were just talking about those the other day and we never talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I had never even heard
this
of it.
Super means you need to go to Al-Anon, but continue.
Yeah, it's a sign.
Yeah.
No, he was just like, he just casually was like, oh, you could probably get a ton of views from those because you're like a pretty girl and that's what does well in those. And just said it just in a sentence, like whatever. But in my head, I was like, I've hooked up with this guy twice. And then I was like, he thinks I'm pretty.
My goodness. Yes. It's like weird to be like,
I would
obsessing.
Have to be on like at the altar with a guy and have him be like, I love you. And I'd be like, I think this guy might be into me.
Your parents messed you up so bad. Oh my God.
Thanks.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay.
27. Hollywood, are you there? I'm 30.
And what age did you try to commit suicide?
23 or 24.
I feel like that's an age, like once you pass your early 20s, you're less likely to kill yourself.
Yeah, well, I think you go through a lot of like feeling crazy. Maybe mine was maybe escalated, but you do kind of feel crazy in your early to mid 20s.
Well, also because I think what happens is, or at least this happened to me, you kind of figure, because my parents got married at, they were 18 and 20.
Yeah.
And they were fine with it and they were very adult about it and they seemed very like good about their decision. By the time my mom was my age, you know, she had a 20-year-old, like, you know, whatever, college, high school kids. So I feel like, they happened to be very coordinated, you know, like pay bills and like all the shit. Ugh. And so I thought this will just happen.
That's
to me.
What life is. Yeah.
So I think when you turn like 18 and the adultness doesn't naturally start happening, by the time you're 23, you're like, because at 20, I remember 23 being
feel like something's wrong with you.
Feel like something's wrong with you. Feel like you're behind. And unless you shake it at that point, you take that with you into your 20s, 30s, or whenever you decide to stop. But when you realize adulthood doesn't just come, like you actually have to be like, I have to learn how to do this on a regular basis, it's never going to stop.
Yeah.
It kind of puts that stuff in perspective.
Yeah. When you realize also everyone, almost everyone is like pretending. They're like, I've got it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrea's writing in, 23 is a dumpster fire age.
Yes.
We are lucky to get out alive. You're right. 23. And I hear 23-year-olds now and they're like, I should have done this by now. I should be doing this by now. Always that, because by 23, you feel like,
I'm a failure if I don't have everything.
Yeah, it's time.
I'm supposed to make $100,000 and have a family.
Yes.
I dated a guy recently that was like 6 years younger than me. What a mistake. But like, once I got out of it, I was like, oh my God, it was like having a baby. But he was so, just so hard on himself that it became like a reflection of like, oh, this is what I went through in my mid-20s. Mm. Now I'm gross. I'm getting, what? Ugh. But like, I don't know. It's just.
When you hung yourself on the shower curtain.
Failed to hang myself.
And the shower bends.
Yeah.
Then do you have to deal with a bent shower every day?
I told the maintenance man, I was like, I don't know. I just turned it on. And
oh my God.
They fixed it, but I was like, I don't know what happened. I turned it on and it just went haywire.
Okay.
I said haywire. Who says haywire?
It's those moments that you should know. The fact that he fixed it, you should know you're pretty. Right.
Yeah, no, that he wasn't just like, fuck you.
Yeah, like that makes no sense.
I probably take for granted the things I've gotten for being like, and I'm little, so it's like adorable.
Yes.
To be like, I don't know. Just playing dumb.
Yes.
Boy, does it work. My mom used to tell me that. She's
and
like, just
blonde.
Play dumb and people will help you. But for a long time, I would pretend I was like mentally challenged because I thought that's what she meant.
Oh my God, did you really?
Oh, God. No, I just did it to be an asshole. But
you had a brother?
I did. I had an older brother. He's like a year and a half older.
Was he shitty or super
my
nice?
My mom loved him. He was.
Oh, so he had a different childhood.
Yeah. That's the thing about if you read about borderline, it's like this love-hate thing. And a lot of times borderline mothers have like this deep hatred or like dislike toward daughters. And it's just this weird psychological thing. Mm. And like as I got older, I realized her mom probably wasn't great to her either or whatever. But
oh, that's like now it makes sense. There's some moms who go off the edge and they pick like one child and that child gets like crazy abused, like starved
yes.
to death sometimes and punished constantly.
For like nothing.
Made to eat from a bowl where the other family members and kids are eating at a table.
Yeah, it's just like treated like an animal, like an abused animal.
Yeah, like we treat animals so much better.
Yeah, and my brother who was, I mean, I love him, but he's a legitimate fuck up. Could do no wrong in my mom's eyes. She loved my brother. He was so cute. And she would just talk about how cute he was.
Ugh.
And like anything he...
How's he doing now? Because that fucks you up in a different way.
No, he almost died overdosing on heroin last summer. And
there
then he is now like living with my aunts. He went to live with my mom for a couple of months. But it's like, what Eleanor. Are you going to do with your life?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh
so
my God.
I think he's sober now, but we all thought he was sober multiple times. So it's kind of like...
Yeah.
Well... And it's like I would still, as a kid, just try to do my best and like get good grades for the longest time and just like try to be a good kid and nothing I did was good enough.
And you didn't try like drowning it in alcohol and drugs?
No, I never, because I just saw my family and how it went for them. And I was smart enough to know that like that's not good for you. I was probably like, the one kid that DARE worked on. And I'm like, if I do a bump of cocaine once, I'll die, you know?
That's it worked on me also. Like I didn't have the DARE program in my school. I mean, I heard about it after, but those commercials, the things that said, this is your brain on drugs. And they didn't even say like what the dose of that was.
Yeah, it's also like what a shitty commercial, because I like eggs over easy. So I never understood the egg one where they're like,
yeah.
Like, why don't they just like any drug sounded bad? I started drinking a little in high school because I was like, oh, parties, drinking. But, and I would say I partied pretty hard in terms of drinking in college, but I don't feel like it was anything more than being in college. Like,
right.
But maybe I'm.
No, but it didn't.
I never
go
felt like
other.
I was like coping. And once I got out of college, I was like, okay, no more blacking out on Tuesdays or whatever.
Okay.
So maybe I drank a little, but I've never read that year that I failed.
I do feel like it continues if you have an issue. You can't just go, well, it's done. I don't know. Keith just did it recently, but it took him, you know, maybe 25 years.
Oh, it's longer. Hard. Well, that year that I, you know, failed to hang myself, like the week before that happened, there was a time where I was like out with my friends. We're just going to mics or whatever. And at the end of a mic, we went to a gas station and I grabbed like a 12 pack of beer, like with full intention of like, I'm just going to drink this so I can sleep because I couldn't sleep. And I got all the way up to the counter and then I was like, no, this is how alcoholism starts. And
oh,
I put it back.
Funny.
But that was the first moment that I realized, oh, like this is why people do that.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Because it's just like, just fucking quit drinking. And then I was like, oh, these thoughts.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'd rather die than become my mother. Like,
right. Here's a letter from
She should take credit for that, too.
What a sad everything that I just told all of you.
Love it.
I'm also happy sometimes.
No, I doubt it. This is from somebody named Marsh. Hey, so I just wanted to share my story since it was partially inspired by you to become sober. Me, I assume he's alluding to.
Nah, it's me.
It's me.
My drink of choice was...
Andrea just pointed to herself.
My drink of choice was 100 proof vodka.
Ugh. Is that a thing?
So 40 proof is normal.
What does that taste like? Fire?
How do you know it's normal?
It's what... That's what everybody...
I drank 100 proof SoCo once and I shit my skirt.
See? That's not normal.
Oh, shitting your skirt, you bypass some stuff.
Yeah.
It actually got to the point that I'd have to drink pretty much the whole bottle to feel anything. Now, I don't know what a bottle means. I'll assume your average party bottle. Since you opened up about your... I'm going to guess a bigger bottle, right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Since you opened up about your alcoholism and sobriety, I've tried a few times, but not seriously about being sober. Started drinking after a couple of traumatic life events occurred within a short period of time. Then the excuse because that I was depressed. Then the excuse because I was just bored. The weekend would come around and I would wake up and start drinking almost immediately because I didn't have any plans that day. I'd be out with friends and start getting anxiety about wanting to just go home and start drinking. The most I would make it without drinking would only be 2 to 3 days. I'm happy to say that I've made it 5 days without drinking and made it through weekend. This may sound silly, but for me, it's a big accomplishment.
It's huge.
That's huge.
I just got chills. That's awesome.
I want to cry.
Yeah.
It has had moments of feeling tough. Every time I want to drink, I try to remind myself that if you can do it.
Well, that's a dig.
I don't know why.
Now, if you fall off the wagon, you're responsible for everybody else's sobriety. Yeah, good luck.
I don't know why I had to be offended. But if you can do it and it didn't seem tough, then it can't be tough for me either.
Because you're a pussy.
I just have to not drink. Thank you, Marsh. Well, I'm not saying that it's not tough, but I would say for me that the secret is the one day at a time thing. That eat a cake, play a video game, watch a movie.
See, I can eat cake.
Well, yeah.
That's the lamest addiction to be like, well, I can't have cake, so I'm also struggling. Then I've just become an alcoholic to avoid eating cake.
But I remember, I was telling the story about how I was going on these dates with this woman and we were having a great time. And then when it came time for sex, there was no compatibility. I knew there was no point for a second time. I was really bummed out. And I passed the liquor store and I'm like, yeah, maybe. And then I think, if this was a movie, that'd be pretty hack. Yeah. And so, I get through that moment and then the moment's over.
Yeah.
So you just focus on the one moment.
Well, what's different between that moment now and that moment before where you would have been like, what's the big deal if I drink? Why is it that you can do that now and not before?
Because I've acknowledged that I have a problem now.
Okay.
Yeah. I think also learning to really embrace that everything, I mean, not to be so Buddhist. I did a 10-day meditation one time.
Congrats. No,
thanks. I survived. It was silent. Oh my God. Just realizing that every emotion passes, I think helps. Like getting to, like when you're in a moment like that and going like, I'm just not going to do it now. And then this feeling's going to go away. Mm-hmm. I don't need to drink. I don't need to do whatever. I just got to fucking have the feeling because it's there and just let it be and it will go away. Being aware that things are going to fade, helps me.
Is that how you feel?
Maybe not.
That is exactly how I feel.
He's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, that's right. Of course. That's the only secret.
That's cool. I mean, and what makes it different than like other times that you said, I'll quit drinking.
I didn't mean it.
Okay.
Like you could tell this guy didn't. He's basically saying he's tried before but didn't mean it. Now he's saying I'm making an announcement because I do mean it.
Mm. A lot of people make announcements and they don't mean it. I'm getting off Facebook for a while. Right. And they're back in an hour. Me.
But do you know they didn't mean it because you said a while?
Yeah.
Or you would have put a time period on it.
Yeah, that's true. For the next 5 minutes,
right.
I'm putting down my phone.
And checking my boyfriend's.
Yes.
I'm allowed to look at other people's.
Entire email.
Right.
It's so funny how learning that other people feel exactly the same way helps us stay on a better track.
Yeah, it like normalizes it because it just makes you go, oh, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
These are emotions.
I do feel like that's what all the anonymous meetings are, is like, hey, sometimes I go into the room and I go, hi, I just want to tell on myself or I just want to say this out loud because when I think about it at home, I either cry or I get nervous or anxious or
you spiral on it.
I could spiral on it. I get a bad memory. I keep that bad memory. And I want, like, as soon as I say it out loud, it goes down a degree. And then the next time I say it out loud, it goes down another degree. And you're in a room full of people where you can go, I tried to kill myself with a belt yesterday. And they're like, mm-hmm.
And they're like, what brand?
What else? Yeah. 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 Do you think that tops anyone in this room? LOLOLOL. Try it. So you're in a room where people are like, you could be in an abusive relationship. Like, I don't know why I'm staying. And they're like, we know why you're staying. You can talk to us about it.
Yeah. And you don't feel, being able to get it off your chest without feeling like you're the maniac in the room.
Yeah.
Is.
And people start dealing with you like they have gloves on. That never happens.
But fucking, you have feelings too. Shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny because in that room, everyone's like, yeah, I suck at this. I suck at that. And then we leave and we're like filling out our resumes and our bios and everything. We're going to be found out anytime.
Yeah, it's just like juggling and trying to keep up the illusion of like, I have it together.
And now that this person, Marsh, that you announced it, this is what I would think. This is how it worked for me, where I wouldn't be tempted to drink if I'm with other people because I made this announcement.
But privately.
So that's not even a thing. But privately, just don't go out and get the bottle.
Yeah.
Keeping you accountable to that? Yeah.
You
pride.
You have to, but you have to, you know, you have to leave the house. So each step literally would be like,
another decision.
I'm a piece of shit. What am I doing? Okay.
But sometimes that's the thing that leads you to the liquor store or to the cake or whatever, because it's like, I'm a piece of shit. You know what? I'll start not being a piece of shit tomorrow. Well, I'm a piece of shit anyway, so I might as well
being
get
healthy
closer
starts
to
tomorrow
it.
Is my motto.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's the ass tattoo.
Yeah. Diet starts tomorrow, right around my butthole. Right.
Eat this.
It was also the amount of pride when you go in situations like that and then you get all the way to the counter and are like, you know what? No. I fucking leave and I'm like, I'm a hero for not buying a candy bar. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, I'll go into liquor stores and I'll say, I just saying I have a problem.
Hey, I came here, but I'm not going to buy anything. And they're like, true. Okay.
I don't know if you're ready for this, Marsh, but my secret is at 3-4 in the morning, I go to a dive bar and I just look around and I go, okay.
I'm going to be
none of them. Then I pop into McDonald's. I see these human animals. And I go, okay, none of that either.
That does help.
Yeah.
It's shitty how much seeing people doing worse than you helps.
Right.
That's why we watch shows like Intervention and Hoarders and shit.
Yeah. Oh, is that what happens when I make bad choices? Okay, maybe I'll stop.
Just for today.
Yeah. Although I sometimes think like, oh, I'm better than that. Let's keep drinking.
Yeah, right. At least I'm not that guy as you're like chugging from a handle.
Because that's part of it is the way we grew up. Alcoholics are the people who can't keep a job, who are, you know, like just everything is bad all the time.
So if you're functioning.
Oh, and so many are functioning because where do we always meet? In bars. So you're doing the thing that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. It's also such a big part of socializing that's a hard, so many people like want to grab a drink and then you're like, what about a coffee?
Yeah. You want that breath instead?
Yeah.
The other day we were talking about Tony Robbins at one of his events saying that those into the Me Too movement are using it simply to not take responsibility for their own lives.
You know what would be a great challenge for anyone who says that? Go, oh, that's great. Name a person that got something out of the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Name someone who out and against Matt Lauer, and now it's just rolling in money and opportunities.
And success, and people are like, aren't you the Matt Lauer lady?
Yes. Yes, and I love it.
Nobody even knows their names. Nobody wants to come forward about stuff like that.
Right.
It's also like, fuck you, Tony Robbins.
Also, that's fully on your resume now. Now when I Google you, you're the one who came out against Matt Lauer. You're going to be the issue in my company. You're going to be the whistleblower. You're going to be all this shit.
Yeah, how do you say that when you go to hire somebody that was part of the Me Too movement, and you say, I stand for what you did, and thank God, but... Do you think there'll be more problems?
Yeah.
But like, are you going to like, the guy in accounting gets a little handsy. Is that going to be an issue? Right. He's great with numbers and I can't afford to lose him.
Like you have to say this one. I read your case and you're absolutely right. But you also understand that like saying hi isn't too much,
well,
right?
Yeah, because it's such a weird, it's a good time. It's a good time now because people should be coming forward, but there is that weird gray area of, it's weird when everyone was doing their Me Too post and someone's like, every day at the office, people tell me I look nice. And it's like, could you not do that while someone else is posting about a rape, please? Like, could you maybe just wait?
At a recent Unleash the Power Within, Tony writes on Facebook, an event in San Jose. My comments failed to reflect the respect I have for everything Tarana Burke and the hashtag MeToo movement has achieved. I apologize for suggesting anything other than my profound admiration for the MeToo movement.
No, somebody wanted to take money away from him.
Let me clearly say I agree with the goals of the MeToo movement and its founding message of empowerment through empathy, which makes it a beautiful force for good.
No. No, you don't.
You're lying and people were backing up and shitting on you and now you're fucking saying things.
Let me
Didn't he say they were doing it for attention? It's yes. Like, fuck you with your fake tan and your big teeth making any in fun of anyone making wanting attention. I can't say words. But like...
Well, okay. Here's the thing.
Like, he probably harasses women.
Normally, I'm like...
he's definitely old school when it comes to gender roles. I've seen his documentary entitled I Am Not Your Guru, which he acts like the director is embedded and you're going to see all these sides of Tony Robbins. Meanwhile, the production company that Tony has is called I Am Not Your Guru, meaning this is just the commercial for Tony and Tony had final say on everything.
Yeah.
But you still see the misogyny in that documentary.
There's also, okay, so you can say things on the spot, you're on stage and it's like, oh, I wasn't articulating right. No. This guy's on stage for 12 hours.
Yeah.
He actually had his heart broken by how much men have to deal with the Me Too movement. That was very, very clear. Then when he got pushed back, he pushed physically right back.
Yeah.
And so for a person whose whole job is to get you to understand what he's saying all the time, he checks in on you. Are you following?
Yeah.
What's good? Cold is better. I don't know. He felt like he makes you fill his sentences in. He's very much in control and you're paying 10 grand
it's
to sit in
so
that.
It's so much money to see him.
To sit in that seat.
And not fucking... Oh, now you get to walk on coals for $10,000. Get the fuck out of here.
And so for him, for someone like him to be like, no, you totally misunderstood. I completely didn't mean that.
You're a professional speaker.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, well, we're professional speakers now too. Like, you're a professional
That's
speaker.
True.
Very good. But
my brand is idiot. And that's exactly why.
And his brand is how to cultivate a very healthy and prosperous environment in the workplace so that you can reach your goals. And he's going, oh, my friend couldn't hire a woman even though she was the best for the job. And we're just afraid of the trouble these women bring in.
Oh, that's... Fuck you.
Wait a minute. That's not what I meant at all ever in life, ever.
It's like the women aren't bringing in the trouble.
The men are.
For 40 years, I've encouraged people to grow into the men and women they dream to be. I watch in awe as more and more women all over the world find their voice and stand up and speak out.
He watches in awe.
All of our growth begins with learning. My own started with a childhood marked by abuse.
Oh, no, don't bring it back to you. So, let me tell you why I'm sad and you should feel bad for me.
Boo.
I am humbled that others have looked to the path I have taken in the decades since as lessons in their own journey.
This is not time for your resume.
No one who speaks that long on stage and has that white of teeth has heard what anyone is saying. He's like, I'm in awe of the women. No, you jump in a cold bath every morning and then you're like, what's Tony going to say today?
I got a new bit where I physically push you and then ask you why you're pushing back. So I don't stumble over a chair, you idiot.
Tony teeth, Tony teeth. He's just... He's a psychopath.
But sometimes the teacher has to become the student, and it is clear that I still have much to learn.
I want to throw up.
Tony, I will willing to give you personal how to deal with women lessons for $10,000 an hour.
He should go for it. He
I'm
needs that
great
much
at
work.
Dealing with women. Ask my mother.
But don't distract me and tell me I'm pretty.
Yeah,
because that is
even
not
though I'm
fair.
Very good looking, it's not my fault.
I teach that life happens for you, not to you. And what I've realized is that while I've dedicated my life to working with victims of abuse all over the world, I need to get connected to the brave women of Me Too.
Shh.
I am committed to being part of the solution.
It's like someone gave
him... I'll be giving free private lessons to women.
It's like he's filling out a Mad Libs thing, but they already gave him the answer. Like, just put brave somewhere. Put, like, respect somewhere.
Awe. I'm in awe.
I'm in awe.
Be in awe. Women love that.
Let me tell you, you're not in awe that I just paid $10,000 for a seat in your chair and it's filled with, like, thousands of people, but you're in awe of women.
I am committed to helping to educate others so that we all stay true to the ideals of the Me Too movement. I will never stop examining my own words and actions to make sure I am staying true to those ideals. That begins with this brief statement, but will not end until our goals are reached. Tony Robbins. P.S. Go run on that fire. Go, go, go.
Wait, that
no.
No. Oh. I was like, is that real? Because that would be it. So funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least he's trying to apologize. That's a weird thing, too, is that I'm like, fuck you. But also, where do we draw the line when someone does theoretically go, oh, I fucked up?
We go with your language has to be humble. Your language has to tell a story that you learned something. Did you learn what he learned? Because I didn't.
I don't know that he learned anything.
Exactly.
It does seem like he just used a lot of catchphrases.
Yeah. Right?
I'm Tony, and I know what words make your ears perk up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. What did he say?
I'm in awe of women. I heard that.
Right.
Brave. You're right.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
He said something about reflecting. He was probably looking in the mirror.
He called it our meet. He kept saying, you know, it's ours. I'm in this with you. Like, bullshit. Yeah. It's all bullshit.
It's like that shit's psychopathic to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't trust any motivational speaker not to be very Patrick Bateman-y when they're not on stage.
Yeah, right. When I did Landmark, even, I can't help but think, at the time, I was like, I wonder what this guy's like one-on-one. I bet a fucking weirdo.
Intense. And not even necessarily negatively, but it's just, to have that kind of personality, you have to be the energy he must have. It's just like, ah.
Well, you have to know for those hours that you are 100% correct.
Yeah, you can't be like.
So how do you turn that off?
Yeah.
I feel like it's possible, but he's not teaching from that place.
You guys, I just realized I've dated two men whose fathers are motivational speakers. And I'm like, what does that even mean?
That's so interesting.
So weird. And one of them was that abusive guy, and his dad was like a womanizing like piece of crap. Anyway.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And the other one was very nice. And I met his dad. Very nice, but very like intense, very like energetic. Like, let's go. He like runs ultra marathons and is like, woo.
Yeah. Tony should say, look, I realize my hands are the size of grown men's heads, and I am the size of the Statue of Liberty.
He's
and maybe I shouldn't
man.
Physically push a woman to make some point about their brain.
Okay, but I can't help but think that this is how guys think all the time. This is what, because if you're willing, as Tony Robbins, who knows better and who has been in this multi-million-dollar business for a long time, I know he thinks that way. And I know he doesn't hire women. He's like, 70% of my company is women, and people start clapping. And I'm like, but you're not giving that, but you're still in awe.
Yeah.
So I do start wondering, like, when we don't push back, when we don't correct, and even when we do, when the mics are off, when they're behind the scenes, they're still thinking the same thing. Like, he didn't learn anything. I don't think Sandusky learned anything. I don't think Louis C.K. is going to learn anything.
Yeah, they just were like, yeah, sorry about that thing that I wasn't supposed to do, I guess.
Well,
yeah,
it would come out faster. It would come out like, whoa, I just saw this video.
You wouldn't have to wait for the pushback.
Right.
And especially when you're saying something to that big of an audience, you would realize, like,
yeah,
hey, I might have fudged up with what I said.
Yeah, as soon
did.
As if somebody in the audience was like, hey, you're getting this movement wrong, I wouldn't be like, what am I saying? I'd be like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Just what do you mean? Well, I mean this. And I go, oh, well, this is how I thought I was saying. Not, well, you got to understand to stop being a victim. I'm teaching this and you're not learning that. And let's
Nobody
go walk on coals.
Me. Yeah. Like,
it's a shame too.
Fuck you. Let's walk on coals.
He was so good in Shallow Hal. And that was like, yeah. Jessica Michelle Singleton. You want to see what's doing? Check out the podcast, Ignorance is Blessed. Online, you can go to @JMS Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
See what's doing, right? Instagram, what have you.
Yeah, Twitter. I'm all over Facebook.com/JMS Comedy.
All
right. What made you start that specific podcast?
I wanted an umbrella where I could ask really dumb questions that people would say that's offensive. Because I think with PC culture and stuff, the way things are moving, it's obviously, I think, going to have like a full positive outcome once we get through it. But we've gotten to this point where fucking women. No. People are afraid to ask questions about things they don't understand. Because like, oh, if I ask that, like someone's going to get offended. They're going to think I'm a monster. So the whole point was like, let me ask these questions that you have. And you're like, I'm not hateful, but I don't understand what that means. So it's kind of like taking the bullet for ignorance.
That's cool. That's awesome.
All right.
Well, trying to overcome it by being ignorant, you know?
Well, it was very nice to meet you.
It was great meeting both of you.
You are pretty.
I got what I came for.
All right.
And we want to thank Rena Calm because she recommended you highly.
I love Rena.
And she is glorious.
I love her so much.
And you were everything she said. So thank you, God. Rena.
You want to hear what she said, though? That's the kicker.
Cunt. Suicidal.
This weekend, Keith and the Girl weekend, April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Let me tell you some people that you'll meet this weekend. Tracy Carnazzo, Paul Hooper, Chris Laker, Hannah Boone, Andrea Allen, Emily Lubin, Marie Faustin, Sydney Washington, Mae Wilkerson, Alyssa Lamparis, Usama Siddiqui. It's going to be a packed, packed weekend between Keith and the Girl live shows, game shows, meeting up, my yearly stand-up. KeithandTheGirl.com/tickets. I want to see you. This could be the last time we do this in New York City. Somebody on the forums asked why. I find venues such a to-do. Just the other day, I was at the venue to fix their sound.
And they couldn't give a fuck. Right, I was like, hey, your sound is fucked up. And he's like, I was there the other day. It's fine. So, all right, I'll go there again. Okay, dude, I went there again. It's not fixed.
Right.
Okay, I'll go there again.
So we'll go to a whole new city. But
I wonder if in like Chicago, someone's like, I got this. Because outside of our city, people kind of...
They care because in New York...
It's been here for a while and it's another bar and it's, you know, you hire whatever booker is your friend because he knows two bands. And so your speaker is fucked up. Oh, yeah, just put a fan on it. Okay, bye. Okay. Okay, bye.
You got to take the show on the road.
I can't. And I love these venues. We're going to have such a great time because...
Because we made it good.
Yes. And also because we're never going there again. So I had a lighting person, Allie, come with me the other day because they're going to help me fix. Like, we were there and I'm like, oh, the lights can do some work. And they're great at it. Allie May, look them up. And they were like... Could we put a soft? I'm like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I doubt anybody will notice. Let's rig this up. So we're going to rig it up the way we want it. We're moving speakers around. We're moving your whole system around. And let me tell you, even if I email you this right now, you'll be like, no, don't. And then just, what do you know? So let's go rogue, you guys. I mean, that being said, please, respect the place to a point where it doesn't come back to me. That's all.
Well, the point is, if you're in the area, come on out.
KeithandTheGirl.com/tickets.
KeithandTheGirl.com.